Yesterday on Bob and Yart Live, we aired part one of a debate between Bob and Yart and Peggy Lunin, an abortion debate in which Peggy in passing claimed that the Bible doesn't condemn abortion. Today, we're going to be talking about that claim as well as the desperate need of the church to return to the Bible. All of that and more coming up right here on Bob and Yart Live. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am your host, Dominic Enyart. Roe v. Wade has been in the news here for a while. There's this Mississippi case. It's a statute that says, except for in cases where the life of the mother is at risk, all abortion is banned after 15 weeks. This law says, check to make sure the baby isn't 15 weeks old, and assuming these requirements are met, then you can kill the baby. Now, let's imagine a hypothetical world where rape is legal here in the U.S., and Christians fought for a law that said you can only rape people if they are under 25 years old. Like, now, boys, don't go raping 30-year-olds. That would obviously be a disgusting law that compromises on God's enduring commands. Likewise, here with this law, it's evil, and it's really sad that pro-lifers waste their time fighting for this rather than fighting to abolish abortion in its entirety. But now with this regulation, the left, they hate anything that pro-lifers do, and so they hate this as this new law as well. Some people will say, hey, the left hates everything good in the world, so if they hate something we're doing, it must be good, right? And it's important to note that the left also hates Russia, thanks to Trump primarily. And it's good to hate Russia because they're evil. So even a broken clock is right twice a day. And it's good to not commit the hasty generalization fallacy, because if I'm looking at my house and the house is yellow and most of the houses that I look at are yellow, that doesn't mean that all the houses that I look at are yellow. If I'm listening to the left and they hate something morally good, and most of the things that they hate are morally good, that doesn't mean everything they hate is morally good. We're not supposed to lean on the misunderstandings of the left to understand the world. We are supposed to lean on God and his understanding to understand the world and his word. So if the left dislikes something, that doesn't mean that it's good. A lot of pro-lifers will say that when arguing for this bill. But so anyways, there's this abortion regulation, which pro-lifers love, and it's an evil law, and the left, they hate it for all of the wrong reasons, of course. I'm not trying to credit the left here with any virtue, of course. And this regulation, it's been conflicting with Supreme Court precedent. We see that Roe v. Wade established a right to an abortion with major air quotes there. Nobody has the right to murder their own child. And then another Supreme Court case, Casey versus Planned Parenthood, came, and that was what, like 20 years later or so? And that said that states cannot impose an undue burden on abortion before the viability of the baby. And that's been the precedent of the Supreme Court. And this Mississippi regulation, it conflicts with the Planned Parenthood versus Casey, and it conflicts with the Roe v. Wade. And so this immoral regulation is challenging these cases. And it should be noted that good things can come out of bad situations. So this immoral regulation, it might help the anti-abortion cause. It's possible. I mean, regulations always backfire, and I imagine this won't be an exception. But it's possible that just it could be a fluke that this ends up helping. I don't think it will. But always remember what Paul taught us. Don't do evil that good may come of it. Paul taught us that in Romans. I'm not going to give you the cross reference. You can look that up for yourself. That might be good for you to find that. But so this Mississippi law has abortion in the news, and I want to talk about it. We probably won't hear a decision until midsummer, maybe late June, early July. But I want to talk about abortion. On yesterday's show, we started a debate between Bob Enyart and Peggy Loser, something or other. And Peggy said that the Bible doesn't talk about abortion. And Bob Enyart, my father, said, like, well, hey, we just talked about that like a week before this debate, but that's not true. Let's change the topic because the listeners already know all about this. And we don't have the advantage of having that fresh in our minds. And abortion is big in the news right now, so I thought, let's talk about it. My stance on abortion has always been pretty simple. If you want to debate abortion with somebody and you don't know where to start, use this sentence. It's a great sentence to kick things off. Abortion is wrong because it's a baby, and it's always wrong to intentionally murder a baby. That's my conclusion. It's pretty simple, right? Now, most libs will start foaming at the mouth when they hear that, but that's okay. That's not unnatural. You can just start with that and go from there. If they start foaming at the mouth, just know you're not doing something wrong. This is a very common occurrence. If you're debating a liberal, you're going to have to walk them through a thought process, and this is going to be new for them. So you are going to have to give them some time. It's going to cause them great discomfort, more foaming at the mouth. In most cases, it will result in physical pain. The left, they're not fond of thought processes. So this Peggy lady, right, she says that the Bible never talks about abortion. And we've got my statement here, which is part of a thought process. It comes from a thought process. And we're going to break that thought process down into baby steps. Baby steps might really help them. And so thinking, like I said, this is going to be new for them. And we really want to simplify it for them. We really want to help them out. We don't want this to be physically painful, but we realize that this is going to it's going to ruffle some feathers in the left. They aren't going to enjoy thinking very much. But so we've got some premises, and those premises lead to a conclusion. What's this? We had about 1,000 liberals tuned in, but just now we lost about 50% of them. That was right after I mentioned thought processes, that a lot of them just tuned out. That's it's not surprising, but so to the 500 libs left listening, I thank you for being here, and I know that this is painful for you, but let's just charge ahead. But so the premise number one, it's a baby. Premise number two, murder is wrong. Premise number three, abortion kills the baby. The conclusion is my sentence. Abortion is wrong because it's a baby, and it's always wrong to intentionally murder a baby. Now, Peggy here from our debate yesterday, Peggy says that the Bible doesn't talk about abortion and that it's not against abortion. But let's work through these baby steps, these premises. And the first premise is, number one, it's a baby. So we're going to go through some verses here. And as I do so, I want you to ask yourself, this entity in the womb that the Bible is talking about, is it a baby? Is it a person? Are some of these examples specific people? Or is the Bible describing non-living objects? The first scripture I'm going to turn to here is in Jeremiah chapter 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." So this is not a Calvinist proof text saying that God knew Jeremiah before he existed. That is self-contradictory. No, this is saying God knew Jeremiah when he was in the womb, before he was even formed, before he had arms and legs. Even as he was an embryo, God knew Jeremiah before he was even formed in the womb. Then the famous Psalm 139, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book all were written, these days fashioned for me, when yet there were none of them. So you get, this is talking about fetology. You see this, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. This is talking about fetology in the womb. When he was in the womb, he was not hidden from God. Isaiah 49, the Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. Luke 1:44, for indeed as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Leapt for joy in her womb. Now to me, that sounds like a person. Perhaps even with the personality, him leaping for joy and all. But to Peggy, no, that's just the fetus who doesn't know what's going on, of course. In that same chapter, and behold, you will conceive in your womb a son and shall call his name Jesus. His name was Jesus when he was in Mary's womb. So straight up, it's a baby. You can't get any more clear cut than what the Bible has said. Baby in the womb. God has plans for babies in the womb. God knows babies in the womb by name before they're even formed, without substance, without fingers and toes in the womb. The Bible teaches, you know, God has a plan for these babies. The Bible is very clear, that's a baby, and it's really cool that it's a baby. So premise one, check, it's a baby. We know that, and the Bible backs that up. And so Peggy, I'm sorry to say that for your theory that the Bible doesn't condemn abortion, it's not looking too good, because premise number one of my thought process, and I know thought processes are difficult for you, but hang in there with me. Premise number one, my first premise, it's a baby. The Bible backs that up. Premise number two, murder is wrong. Now let's take a look. Shouldn't take too long here. Is murder wrong according to the Bible? Oh, would you look at that? Shocker. Exodus 20:13, you shall not murder. I feel like we don't need to go any more into depth on that point. It seems pretty straightforward. Yep, murder is bad. The Bible agrees. The Bible backs that up. That's all I need, just that one verse. Exodus 20:13, murder is bad. So premise two, check. And so Peggy, I'm sorry, your theory that the Bible doesn't condemn abortion, it's really not looking too good. Now premise number three, abortion kills the baby. And to Peggy's point, credit where credit is due, the Bible never specifically says that abortion terminates the life of children in the womb. It doesn't say that verbatim. So Peggy, you know, that's true. Good work, Peggy. But we don't actually need biblical support for this. Literally everyone agrees that abortion terminates pregnancy and that abortion kills the baby. That's the entire point of abortion, to get rid of the baby. So premise number three, you know, it's not verbatim in the Bible, but check. I don't think that Peggy disagrees that abortion terminates the pregnancy. So I don't think we'd get much argument from her on that point. But so Peggy, the Bible says the baby in the womb is a baby, and it says that murder is wrong. And newsflash, Peggy, but if you go and you kill a baby, that's murder. And it's wrong. You see that thought process, Peggy? You see how the Bible backs up that thought process? Now, so Peggy, if you're foaming at the mouth, calm down. I just want you to call 911 immediately. That's what Google here says to do. If you're foaming at the mouth, call 911 immediately. You're going to be okay. We'll get you through this. But hopefully you're not foaming at the mouth quite yet. I know these thought processes are difficult, but you see how that the Bible backs up that thought process and how the Bible clearly condemns abortion. If you're going to claim something in the Bible, Peggy, go ahead and read it first. It'll do you some good. And who knows? You might not foam at the mouth. Until then, just stop. You're the worst. Now, I'm not actually foolish enough to think that Peggy cares about the Bible or what the Bible says. And if there was a verse where Jesus straight up said, hey, abortion is murder and it's evil, just all succinct right there in one verse, it would not affect her even a little tiny bit, because she doesn't care about morality. She doesn't care about the God of the Bible. She doesn't care about any of that. But she did bring that up as an argument that she thought would be persuasive to Christians, and so it's worth taking the time to rebut. Unfortunately, it is sad, though, that there is a significant portion of the church nowadays that is, they're just very progressive Christians. And I say that with air quotes, because progressive Christians, that's somewhat of an oxymoron, because progressive Christianity, it's, you know, changing Christianity, which you can't do. But her argument there, it's very persuasive to a lot of Christians who don't know their Bibles very well. They don't read their Bibles, and they just go to these big mega churches with the big fog machines, and they don't take the time to study their Bibles. And the message the church teaches nowadays is, hey, Jesus, he loves you. Jesus will accept you. You're perfect the way you are. Jesus forgives everybody no matter what. And so when Christians get that message, that makes them prone to fall for the argument Peggy here is making, that the Bible doesn't condemn abortion, even though it clearly does. I might accuse Peggy of lying here, but she might not know herself. But either way, it is persuasive to a lot of progressive Christians today. By the way, I've watched several debates between conservative Christians and progressive Christians, and I've noticed that most progressive Christians, they don't even look at the Bible as a reliable source to go to and to learn from. So a lot of the time, if you go to a good church, you might hear that Christianity has abandoned the Bible, and you might just think that that's just hearsay, but that's actually a big issue plaguing the church. You know, I'm here in Colorado, and you can't drive 20 minutes without seeing a Methodist church with a rainbow flag outside. The church has fully abandoned the Bible, and it's kind of just become this weird self-help club, which is really a bummer. But so we need to get back to the Bible and teach the Bible. That way Christians don't fall prey to these terrible arguments, like Peggy said there, that the Bible doesn't condemn abortion, because of course it does. And going on a tangent here, today is a show of tangents, but teaching the Bible, here in the studio audience, we have this young guy, cool guy, Joshua. And when he was a little kid, maybe five or six, his parents invited their family friends over. And their family friends, they were JWs, Jehovah's Witnesses. A great family, young, conservative, homeschool family, super nice and super sweet, but they were Jehovah's Witnesses. And anyways, they invite them over just to hang out and for a play date for their kids. And the parents, they're all talking upstairs, and they send their kids downstairs to play. I'm sure the parents upstairs were talking about Jehovah's Witness versus Christianity. I know them, and that's their nature to debate like that. But anyways, they're talking with them for a few hours, and their daughter, the Jehovah's Witnesses, their daughter comes upstairs and just says, Mommy, guess what? Jesus is God. And the look on the mom's face, she was just horrified. And Joshua, who's here in the studio right now, he's helping out. Thanks, Joshua. Joshua had told her, the little girl, that Jesus is God when he was maybe 5 years old. And that's because his parents have done a good job of teaching him the Bible. And when we teach the Bible and when we follow the Bible, it just has a tendency to leak out and manifest itself in really cool ways like that. And so it's seriously important. Let's go back to the Bible. Let's teach the Bible. And if you are a progressive Christian, I recommend that you really do take the Bible seriously and go back to it and study it and use it as your guide. And if you do, all sorts of great things happen, like your kids, you know, helping to get your friends out of a cult, for example, you know, not little things. By the way, speaking of Jehovah's Witnesses, this Friday, Fred Williams and Perry Little on Real Science Radio are going to be taking on an ex-JW atheist YouTuber. He's a real popular guy who's trying to pull people away from the Jehovah's Witness cult, which that's great. The Watchtower, they're a disaster. And so he's pulling people away from them, which, you know, I applaud him for. But he's also trying to pull people away from the Bible in its entirety, right? He's throwing out the baby with the bathwater, which is tragic. And on Friday, Fred and Perry, they're going to take him on, and that should be a lot of fun. I hope you can join us for that. Anyways, Peggy, I hope that you've recovered a little bit from the migraine induced by thinking for the first time in thought processes. By the way, a lot of people, Christians specifically, accuse me of being too mean to evil people. They say, "Oh, you shouldn't make fun of baby murderers. You should be more kind to those people who murder babies." And my response is always the same. I'll just tell them, like, "Oh, if you think me making fun of evil people is bad, you are going to lose your mind when you find out what God and his people did to evil people in the Bible, because it's way worse than making fun of them." So I feel like I'm actually pretty tame in comparison. You know, this actually reminds me of an email I got from one of you guys, a local listener, by the way, an email. Let me pull this up here. And by the way, you can email me your thoughts on the show, and I'd like to start reading some emails from listeners on the show. You can email me DominicEnyart@gmail.com, DominicEnyart at gmail.com, DominicEnyart@gmail.com. You can email me and we'll talk through it, agree or disagree. I want to know what you guys are thinking. However, if we disagree, you are wrong. So keep that in mind when you email me at DominicEnyart@gmail.com. I'll put that on the website, DominicEnyart@gmail.com. Also, you can follow me on the social medias, at DominicEnyart. But I got this email from this listener, which just so perfectly and wonderfully encapsulates what's going on inside my head and what I was thinking when I was first listening to that debate that we aired yesterday. The subject line just said "morons" with a little angry face right next to it. Now, because I'm a little bit dyslexic, I read that as "Mormons" the first time through, which that was pretty funny. But no, not Mormons, "morons" with a little angry face right next to it. And this was about the debate we aired yesterday between Bob and Peggy on abortion. Highly recommend you check that out. You can go to yesterday's show as well as part two, which will air next Monday. But from our listener, "Hi, I had to stop listening to this debate. And so I started reading this. And I was like, oh, that's a little sad. But listening to a moron, Peggy, debate Bob is impossible for me. Just like Bob's debate with Aaron Raw, I only made it into the second round of the Aaron Raw debate and stopped. I just can't take it beyond the second round. I've listened to virtually every show of the BEL archives 4 or 5 times." And by the way, that's a lot. Do you guys realize how much is in the BEL archives? This guy is a hardcore fan. He says, "With the exception of debates like the one that Bob had with Peggy and other similar debates, morons irritate me to no end. Bob is so good at debating that I, for the life of me, cannot understand why the person Bob is debating doesn't have an epiphany and say, 'Wow, I never thought about that. You are right.'" And then continuing, "With that being said, Bob's debates are an invaluable tool for those that listen to them. Never stop airing them. And I'm glad to hear the news about Will and his new ministry." He says that he's going to stop by and check out the church, which I'm excited about. I'm excited to meet you. He says, "God bless you all." Oh, that's so nice. Thank you so much. Sincerely. And then he's a local guy who I think wants to remain anonymous. We'll call him Greg. But it exactly. And don't worry, Greg, we're not going to stop airing them. That's thanks in part to you, Greg. I believe Greg helps us stay on air, which you can do too, kickgov.com/sponsor or /store. But I have this exact same problem, Greg. When I listen to these people, I think, how is this not so obvious and clear cut? You know, I think it was Will Duffy actually who said that in his debate with Matt Slick. He gave the most incredible opening statement. Guys, can we pull that up? Can we play that real fast? It's so funny. He was talking and you got it. Let's just hear this.
I don't suppose my argument about God's free will in my opening statement proved the future is open to you?
No.
Okay. So.
Oh my gosh. I thought that was so funny. And I'm not kidding. Greg, when Will asked that, I half expected Matt Slick to say, yeah, you're right. I'm an open theist now. I half expected that. That would not have caught me too off guard. But no, we're not that lucky. We've got to work for it a little bit. But Greg, thanks for the email. I relate to that. It so perfectly encapsulates my thoughts about everyone we debate here. And by the way, we promote our debates, and that's always a good sign that you think that you've won when you promote the debate. And we always promote our debates. I'd say it's out of principle, but I can't, because we've never lost a debate and had the opportunity to show our virtue. You can find Will's debate there against Matt Slick on the Bob Inyart YouTube channel. By the way, his opening statement is really powerful. I remember Will and my dad, Bob, put a lot of effort into that opening statement, and it's worth watching the debate, even if you're just going to watch Will's opening statement by itself. Highly recommend checking that out. No, but I relate. And when I say that the left, I was saying it earlier, just kind of joking, that thinking is new to them and it's something that will cause physical pain. It's a little pet theory of mine that I genuinely believe that the left, when they think long and hard about an issue, I do think for a lot of them, it's quite possible that it causes physical pain, like it causes a migraine or something in their head. And I think that a significant portion of them genuinely do not have the capacity to think about complex issues or even simple issues without some discomfort. I don't mean to give them an excuse or a way out of their immorality, because it's not simply ignorance, it's also immorality. But they're definitely not too keen on critical thinking or nuance. And that's a big thing, by the way, nuance. That's a big enemy of the left. They hate all forms of nuance, because nuance, if it's not a soundbite quote, you know, my body, my choice-esque, then it's not going to convince a lot of liberals, because they really can't pay attention long enough to comprehend any form of nuance. And so that's why, by the way, Twitter is such a wonderful tool for the left, because with its character limit, it is such a perfect tool for the left, because with that character limit, it makes it hard to express those nuances. And so the left, they've definitely put that to good use. I am on Twitter. You can follow me there at Dominic Inyart. But don't worry, Greg, we will keep airing these debates. I think they're a lot of fun. You mentioned coming to Agape Kingdom Fellowship. I'm excited to get to meet you also. We might have met once or twice before. That's one thing I definitely got from my dad, a terrible memory. Today's show is sponsored by David H. David, thank you so much for helping us stay on air and keeping the ministry alive. And thank you for allowing me and Greg to complain about these dumb pro-aborts, specifically Peggy. Peggy, yeah. But no, thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. If anyone else out there in the audience would like to help support, you can do that by going to kgov.com/store. And we had mentioned the debates. We sell some of our debates on the store. You just go to the debate tab and you can pick up some of our debates there. A bunch of really interesting, really great stuff. We would appreciate that so much. Again, email me, dominicinyart@gmail.com. I am excited to see you tomorrow. I want to remind you, join us at Agape Kingdom Fellowship, 4085 Independence Court in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Hope to have you back tomorrow. And until then, this is Dominic Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.